Today I'm going to talk about row spacing and nitrogen rates and in wheat and how far we can go. And let's see. So why are we interested in row spacing? For a number of reasons. We're working in a no-till environment, and that means we're working with standing stubble and surface residues, and they create unique challenges. At the symposium, people were talking about stripper headers and tall stubble, and if you want to be in that environment, then a wider row spacing really does make it easier to seed the next no-till crop if you can widen out your row spacing. So that applies to that too. And economically, when we look at no-till and narrow spacing, we have more openers, more draft, more energy, more costs, more maintenance, more residue clearance problems, narrower seeders, and longer seeding periods, because machines can only pull so many openers. So if you're on 10 inches, you can only do so many feed. If you're on 12, you do so many more. And if you're on 14, you do so many more, or 16. So questions that we were interested is, can we go beyond 12 inches? And what are the implications for side-banded nitrogen fertilizer? Because in my area, the fertilizer usually goes down, even the nitrogen goes down in the mid-row or side-band. And if we're in a side-band, as we widen out that row, we're getting more and more concentrated fertilizer in the side-band as we increase the nitrogen rate and as we widen out the row. So our experimental design, we use a split plot design with four reps. Our main plot was row width, 10, 12, 14, and 16 inches, or 25, 30, 35, and 40 centimeters approximately. The subplot was nitrogen rates. We went from 20 to 160 kilograms, regardless of the background N, because we were more interested in the effects of the applied nitrogen than trying to get a constant nitrogen rate. So we used proc mixed with years of fixed effect. We had 4 years at one site, so we really can't go to a random for the site. And we used wheat, of course, and our target population was approximately 250 to 300 plants per meter squared. And we had one blend of fertilizer that went on everything, a 14, 20, 10, 10 that we have made up, so that we have a constant rate of P and K and S, and that works out to about 127 pounds per acre, 142 kilograms per hectare. And this is the seeder we use. It has 8 openers on 2 I-beams, and use your finger. Works. All right, so we have these cranks here, and we move the openers on those I-beams out to the set row width and drop pins in. We have 4 Velmar boxes that allow us to direct product to the seed opener and to the fertilizer opener. And then our openers, we use a seed master opener. So, let's see, can I find it again? There it is. So this is where the seed goes. This is the fertilizer and the sideband, deeper and to the side. This is where we want to maintain our integrity, and we want to make sure that we, at high nitrogen rates, we maintain that integrity as we widen out the row spacing, so we know that it's not going to be an issue. So this is kind of the increase in total product that goes on the field as we increase our nitrogen rates. And we have our blend as well. And then, of course, as we increase our row width, this is at 60 kilograms per hectare. This is what it looks like in the sideband for the fertilizer concentration. This is at 16 inches. You see it's concentrating up. And it significantly is apparent that at 16 inches, there's just more fertilizer in that row. So this is our results. This is just, I am semi-arid, but this was before our field day, and we were about to take the trailers through here, and we moved. But you can see that even I am semi-arid sometimes, but most of the time, but sometimes we have large rainfall events. All right, so the good news is this is, there was no interaction between nitrogen rate and row spacing. So I will talk about nitrogen rate first, because the responses that we observed are what we would expect, and if there's no interaction, then we'll just deal with this pretty quickly here. So, but good news is, even going up to the 160 kilograms per hectare of N, no effect on plant density, so we've maintained our separation between seed and fertilizer. And as we would expect, as we increase our nitrogen rate, we've increased our head density, and then our seeds per head is leveling off after about 80 and 1,000 kernel weight. So our kernel weight is also leveling off about between the 80 and 120. And then when we have our grain yield, 2013 and 2015 are nearly identical curves, except for the yield potential. 2014, the yield potential was a little bit higher, I mean, a little bit more sensitive to the nitrogen rate. And in 2016, it was less sensitive. Maybe it was because of all the moisture we had. Biomass increased as we pushed up the N rate, as we would expect, and it tended to peak at about 120. And interestingly enough, the grain protein tended to increase linearly in two of the three years. We haven't got 2016 done yet, which is kind of indicating that there isn't much lag in our increase in protein. We're not getting a lag as we push our N rates up. So we're not dealing with a deficiency in N in the system. We have enough N in there to keep our protein up as we're pushing our N rate up, our yield up through our N rate, which I thought was kind of interesting. I expected a little bit more lag in the protein as we push the grain yield up, but haven't seen it in those years. So, row spacing. Now, we got a little bit more of a mixed bag response here. In 2013, we had our strongest response to going out from 10 out to 16. It was a linear decrease all the way from 10 down to 16. In 2014, there was no effect. 2015, there was a drop from 10 to 12, and then nothing after that. So we get a curvilinear response. Oh, by the way, these are significant contrasts. So if I don't have a line there, that means there is no difference. I should have said that earlier. So in 2014, the blue dots have no line, meaning there was no effective row spacing on our plant density. So we are getting a little bit of a decrease at times, but in 2016, the plant density was fairly variable, but overall it went up. The good news is, when we compensate for our head density, there's just a little bit of a general linear decrease in heads per meter squared as we push our row spacing out. And the seed density, seeds per head, is not usually affected. It was in 2016 with an increase from 10 to 12 and out to the 14 and 16. But again, nothing really strongly consistent that you could take to the bank. Kernel weight, a decrease in 2016 and an increase in 2014 and no responses in the other 2 years. So fairly stable as we're pushing that row width out. And then we get to grain yield. If I put all 4 years together, I get a significant decrease in grain yield as we push out our row spacing. But that all came from 1 year. So 2015, it wasn't a significant linear decrease. 2016 and 14. So it's interesting, these results. You can look at them a number of ways. You could say there's a 25% probability that you're going to hit a yield decrease once you get past 12 inches. You could say, well, there's a 75% probability there won't be any effect on the row spacing all the way out to 16. I think there's probably a little bit of a decrease past 14 to 16, not a huge one. We saw this in oats a little bit, but This is all with one cultivar, Good Eve, and so I think it's some indication on the next experiment. We'll have to go out to at least 20 to get a point far enough out to get a better curve, and we need to use more cultivars and maybe more species to see what effect that has. Biomass, there was a general decrease usually in biomass as we moved out our row spacing, and because we decreased our biomass but not always our yield, the harvest index was pretty variable. Sometimes it went up and sometimes it was a small decrease. And good news is the protein was not affected, so it stayed constant as we moved the row spacing out to 16 inches from 10. So in conclusion, N-rate had no effect on plant population, indicating that fertilizer placed an inch and a half to the side and three quarters below the seed is a safe configuration up when we're at 16 inches. And there was no interaction between nitrogen and row spacing. And row spacing, we had 1 year with a strong decrease in yield as the row width increased, which means we need to do more research to know get a better refinement on that probability, so growers have that information in the future if they are inclined to get a wider row spacing. And that is it. Thank you.
We have time for one question.
Yes. That's right. That's why, another reason why we have to do some more research. It did have a significantly higher yield potential, and so is that the reason why or not? And I don't know. Yes? Well, it's run similar to all the work we've done over the years at Indian Head.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So why do you think Indian Head runs counter to the other stations?
I'm not sure. I haven't really seen the data from the other stations, and I didn't like very much. So, we are trying to move. This was not on an Indian Head heavy clay. I'll have to see which year we were on an oxbow loam. But I am trying to alternate between a heavy clay and an oxbow loam when I do this. And in fact, if we get enough funding, this was in a back pocket, right? We just ran this without any funding. So we may try and get funding. Well, yeah, I'll be applying for funding for a bigger study, and we'll run that on a heavy clay and a loam and see if there's a difference there. It could be because we have so much more water holding capacity on our heavy clay compared to a loam. That might make a difference, but I mean, it just depends what stations you're talking about for. I'm not familiar with that other data. So was that in Alberta? I haven't seen it. Okay, you'll have to show me the data, Tom, because I'm not familiar with that study. Yes?
How do you think that inch and a half separation would work with farmers who are using aqua or maybe even anhydrous liquid?
Well, anhydrous in our area goes down in the fall, so they don't put it on at seeding. But I don't know, so I'm not familiar with seeding.
Is it all dry?
The anhydrous isn't dry, but
no,
mine was.
Yeah.
No, some guys use ammonia, but they'll ban it in the fall, usually, if they're anhydrous.